open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Do you? I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see. How do you want to see him? To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
Pour out your power and love and grace.
God bless you. Thank you, brother. Praise God. Amen. God bless everybody this morning. We just appreciate the honor and privilege to be able to come and minister to you this morning. And we appreciate our Brother Samuel allowing us to be able to come, having the confidence in us to be able to stand. My name is Brother Keith Brown, a pastor of church in St. Augustine, Florida. And I just want to let y'all know I'm just as country as cornbread, okay? So don't get scared or anything. Amen. If I get comfortable, I might kick my shoes off. You know? But we just count it a great honor to be here. And we've been looking so forward to coming up this way and just having fellowship. And we just want to just be able to give you a little word this morning to encourage you, cause you to love Jesus Christ more in your life. And to be a better Christian. Amen. Because that's what we need to do. Brother Branham says, the one thing we need to do, and a lot of people say, what is that? Brother Branham said, behave.
Amen. Right.
If we could just behave, amen. Praise God. Amen. But we appreciate the Lord so much. I thought maybe you may be seated. We might sing a song, get my wife to come up, and we would maybe try to just sing a little song for you. Pray it'll be a blessing to you. And we're just looking, I believe, two services this morning. So we're just looking for a wonderful time for the Lord just to speak. And we're going to try to sing this song. Amen. Let's try the key of F, honey. How many is thankful for the lighthouse?
Amen.
Amen.
There's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light. Yes, light that I might see. And the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead me home. If it wasn't for that old lighthouse, tell me where would this ship be? Now everybody around the lighthouse, they say, why don't you just tear it on down? Well, the big ships, they don't sail this way anymore. There's no use that old thing standing round. But then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time saw the light, and the light from that old lighthouse still stands on Calvary's hill. And I thank God
I owe my life to Him. Jesus is the lighthouse and safe from the rocks of sin. He has shown His light about me, oh, that I might clearly see. If it wasn't for that old lighthouse, tell me, where would this ship be?
If you know it, sing it with me.
And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. Jesus is a lighthouse and safe from the rocks of sin. He has shown His light about me, oh, that I might clearly see. If it wasn't for that old lighthouse, tell me, where would this ship be? Tell me, where would this ship be?
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I'll tell you, I know where this ship would be. We'd have been crashed up against the rocks. Okay, without that light, we don't have anything to lead the way. Amen. So we want to get into the Word of God here this morning. And we have a little thought we'd like to share with you. It's a little series that I had ministered at my church here not long ago. And I believe that the Lord had laid this back on my heart to speak here. And I pray this will be a blessing to you. But we want to turn our Bibles, if you would, over to Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 1. And also, if you would turn your Bibles, our main scripture text will be St. John chapter 11. And we would begin reading in verse, 21 or 22. But we want to just take a little thought here this morning, and possibly if the Lord would lead us, if we go into that direction. We just want to be led of the Holy Spirit, whatever He would have us to say. But we want to just share a little thought about the resurrection of Lazarus. And I'd like for you to see some things in here about the resurrection of Lazarus. And I believe that you begin to see what it is that Lazarus went through and what he went down with, what he came up with, and what he overcome. Amen. I believe you'll see a lot of yourself in there. Amen. So we want to begin reading in Ephesians. And this is a well-known scripture. And I believe that this, it begins, it says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." But aren't you thankful it doesn't work in you anymore? Amen. "Among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Isn't that powerful? "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His love, great love wherewith He loved us." I that just touches my heart when I hear Him say He loved me.
Amen.
"Amen. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now, if you notice that, that's from one condition to another condition.
Exactly.
Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Now, let's take our Bibles, if you would. Let's just turn right over here to St. John. And we won't read just a lot, the scripture is just, the whole scripture is just full of wonderful nuggets. But let's just begin reading where it says in verse 21, "Then Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son which shall come into the world. Now let's just flip over here to 43, if we would. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord, and we ask you, Lord, that you would speak through your servant, Lord, and the words that you have laid upon his heart. Father, we would ask you in Jesus' name, God, that you would come down now, Lord Jesus. Move your servant out of the way, Lord. Bless the ears of the hearers that have come, Lord. I know they're looking to hear something, Father, and we ask you, God, that you would just speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Amen. I'll take my coat off here. So if I preach too long, just pull on my coattail, you know. God bless everybody. We want to take our thought here this morning out of Ephesians 2 and 1. And it says, you who he hath quickened. Now, we see the word quicken, and it means to be made alive. Amen. Because we know one thing. We know that we are the chosen of God. And we were chosen of him. The Bible says in Ephesians, I believe it says that he chose us in love. He chose us in love. Church, he didn't fall in love with us. He always loved us. See, his love is greater than a filial love. Amen. But his love is so great that he loved you when you was dead to him. He loved you when you was a sinner. He loved you when you was a drunkard. He loved you in that condition. And he took you the way you were. He didn't let you get cleaned up and then accept you. Amen. But he saw you before the foundation of the world. So what do we got to worry about? God is in control of every condition, every situation that we go through. We have to understand that. Praise be to God. And we want to see our scripture here. And the thought that we want to bring out here is that we see a woman by the name of Martha. And we know that there's Martha, there's Mary, there's Lazarus. And Lazarus, we find out that he died. And we also find out that Jesus could not be around until he died. See, sometimes things have got to get bad. I hear a lot of people say, well, my marriage is just the worst it is. Well, sometimes the worst has to come before the better. Hello? I said, sometimes the worst has to come before the better. Because that's the way it does. Amen. That's not always better, and then it's worse. So sometimes the worst, sometimes the cancer is worse before it gets better. Amen. So don't always think when something gets worse that God can't handle it. God can take every situation. And I want to show you something here this morning, just for a little season of time that we're going to speak this morning, and perhaps as we carry it on this evening. But what we want to talk about here is just a line of thought. Because what we want to see here is that Jesus had to leave. And when he left, the people there were waiting on him. Mary and Martha had sent a word for Jesus. Come, your friend, the one that you love, the one that loves you, come and heal him. Do something. But see, Jesus couldn't do it. Because he had seen a vision of a resurrection. Hallelujah. Amen. Lazarus had gone down with something, my brother and sister, and that was potentials. He went down into the grave with potentials. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't have these potentials that Lazarus had, if you don't have these potentials that God is looking for, then you're not going to resurrect. You're not going to come forth. Because this is our line of thinking, is coming forth. Overcoming all the things that are in your life. Things that of your past that are still trying to haunt you. You know, there's some people that are sitting in the message now that are still bound in their mind because they don't trust God and release it to Him. What we try to do sometimes, my brother and sister, is we will give Him our strengths. We'll give Him our power. We'll give Him our gifts. We'll give Him all these things, but we won't give Him our weaknesses. And that's what we need to do, is take those weaknesses and give them to Him. Because He can turn that situation around. You see, the only thing that could have righted this situation was a resurrection. That's why I said sometimes things in your life have got to get bad. But you have to still have the same faith and trust God. Amen. Even if it gets worse. Even if the doctor looks at you and says, well, there's no hope. See, you got to realize one thing. The doctor only knows what his book says. He can only go by what his book says. Amen. But we got a greater book, my brother and sister. And the great physician tells us that He can change the condition. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I don't care what kind of condition you're in. I don't care what struggle you got right now. I believe there's an hour when it's time for you to come forth. And when that hour comes in your life, there's no devil in hell going to stop you from coming forth. Hallelujah. Amen. Death couldn't stop it. Corruption couldn't stop it. Praise God. So here we are. We see ourselves, as the message tells us, that God saw us. Not just saw us, but He chose us. So His choice, God's choice, has to be a sovereign choice. So His choice has to be based on something sovereign. He has to have that sovereignness. So as we go back into the mind of God, we find out that He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So when God saw you and He chose you, and He didn't just fall in love with you, He always loved you. Because you were a part of Him. And what you need to understand, my brother and sister, is the hour when you come forth to recognize what He's already done for you. That the work is already over. It's already done. The price has already been paid. And He's now saying to you, come forth. Hallelujah to God. But you know, there's always those around. And people have a problem with something. You know what that's called? It's called stinking thinking. Stinking thinking. Because they cannot see you the way God sees you. They cannot understand what it is that God has already done for you. Martha had come to a place, she knew He was the Christ. But she needed more of a revelation. And church, sometimes He'll take the closest thing from you to bring you to the place. He'll take things from you just to humble you and get you to the place where He wants to be able to work with you. I tell you, as we look into this scripture, we're going to see so many different little nuggets that just jump out. And as we begin to look and we begin to see this scripture, I want to read something to you that the prophet of God said. And this is in the Message it's the rising of the sun. It says, now, see, now you're already resurrected. When God raised him up, he raised you up. The sun is just now on you, and now you are growing into the blossom life like he was, to be resurrected in the last day. So my brother and sister, you are growing to a full resurrection. But the work has already begun. But our problem is we have those around with stinking thinking. And sometimes we find if we're not careful that we might have stinking thinking. Because we cannot look what God says we are. We struggle with the fact of what God says we are. And the reason we do is because it takes a revelation. It takes an understanding. And brothers and sisters, Lazarus came forth with something. He came forth. The prophet of God says, now watch, the father told him one day, Lazarus is going to die. I want you to go away. It's going to be so many days. Jesus, without warning or anything, obeyed the father and went away. They sent him, said, Lazarus sick. Come pray for him. Jesus just went on. They sent him away and he just kept going. Finally, after the time was fulfilled that the Father had showed him. Oh, I'll tell you, when Lazarus came forth, he didn't just come forth in a resurrection, saints of God, but he came forth with an understanding. And what that understanding was is what the Father had seen of him. Hallelujah, church, you ain't just a church member here in Lula. You're not just a church member. It should be more than that. It should be deeper than that. Amen. You should be looking in your life and say, Lord, where can I come forth? Lord, where is these things in my life that I've got to die out to? Where are these dead things that are trying to take me down? Let me share something with you. Dead things can't hold you. I've been to many funeral homes. I never had a dead man reach out and grab me. If I wanted to hold on to something dead, I had to grab a hold of him. Because there's no life in that body. Hallelujah to God. You think about that now. You say, well, then I think I start to understand where my struggle is. I'm not letting go of the dead things. They're trying to hold me, trying to bind me, trying to hold me down. See, church, you've got to be willing to let it go. Because if you don't, it won't let go of you. See, you have to come to the place to where you say, as Jesus told Lazarus, he said, Lazarus, come forth. So here it is, saints. He wasn't just calling to a man to a resurrection, but he was calling this man to something. He was calling him to an understanding. He was calling him to a revelation of what he went down with. Let me tell you something. When he came forth, he recognized that what he believed was the truth. Ain't it wonderful when you go through a trial, when you go through a testing, and you go through something, and you find out, you say, Lord, your word is real. Your word is the truth. No other word could have done this. No other church, no other man, nor the Lord, only you could do this. But now watch this. Speaking of this resurrection, so he said that you now have the potentials in you. And the potentials that Lazarus went down with, he said, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So brothers and sisters, the voice that was calling out was not just a voice. But it is the voice that summons all things. Oh, I'll tell you, is that voice speaking to you? If you're sitting in this assembly tonight, you've already been in contact with the voice of the resurrection. Hallelujah, that voice has already called out. That voice has already brought you out of the dead things. It's already changed you from one form to another form. The prophet said, from a sinner to a saint. See, you no longer think on those things. You know, there are people in this world that are called nicophiliacs. Do you know what a nicophiliac is? That is a person that will hold on to dead things. That is a person that cannot release that which has died. That is a person that, excuse my expression, as you study into it, you'll find out that it is a romance with the dead. They cannot release their dead mother, their dead father. They cannot release these things. And they hold on to them. They dig them up out of the grave. And they won't let go of what is already dead. If God says it's dead, then it's reckoned dead. Are you with me here, saints? So we want to see here that if God says it's dead, if God says it's done away with, then why are people still struggling in that area of their life? Because you don't really believe what God has said. Hallelujah. Oh my, praise God. That's what these nicophiliacs are. They're attracted to dead things. The prophet of God said this world should be dead to us. The things of this world should be dead to us. But try telling that to a nicophiliac. And I wonder in the message if we ain't got some spiritual nicophiliacs. People that just refuse to let go of the dead things. I'm here to tell you this morning, Lazarus was in a tomb. Lazarus was sealed up. Lazarus was in a condition where everybody was stinking thinking. But I want to share something with you this morning. I want to show you how to overcome stinking thinking. Because there is a way that you can overcome stinking thinking. There is a way that you can look and see what God says and believe what God says. Hallelujah to God. So we want to look at this now. That when Lazarus rose, listen to this. That Jesus spoke to Martha and said, "Thy brother shall rise again." A lot of people think they know everything, you know. A lot of people think they understand this about the resurrection, that about this, and this about this. But let me tell you something. Jesus was trying to bring her to a deeper understanding of who He was. Martha, I'm not just the Christ, but what you're about to witness is the resurrection. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." So we see, church, that the resurrection isn't just an event, but it is a person. And if that person is in you, hallelujah, that resurrection is in you. Hallelujah. And the Word is calling you. What called Lazarus? It was the revealed Word of the hour. It was the manifested Word for that day that was calling a man in a condition that he was in. Is this okay, saints of God? Hallelujah to God. Amen. But see, you are part of a vision. God saw you before the foundation of the world. And when He saw you, and He chose you, His choice couldn't be based on, "Yeah, he's okay. No, he's not. Yeah, this one's like, yeah, I'll take this. I don't like that black hair guy. This red, no, I'll take it. Yeah, no, no, that wasn't God." God's choice was sovereign. Because it was based on the same thing that looses you today. The shed blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. His choice was sovereign because it was based on blood. Even in the mind of God. Are you with me here, saints of God? See, I'm trying to show you how to overcome stinking thinking. I'm trying to show you how to release these dead things so you can be free. So that you can live again. So the lifeless areas in your life can now be resurrected. You say, my marriage is falling apart. Well, he can make it come forth again. You say, my home is a wreck. He can make it come forth again. Hallelujah to God. Oh, I feel his presence here this morning. Listen to what the prophet of God says. I like reading what the prophet says. I love looking at a scripture and then seeing what he said about the scripture. Because you're seeing through the eye of a prophet. Now watch this. Watch what he says. He says, in the Lamb's Book of Life, whose name's in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world, that's Abraham's seed. This is in Abraham's grace covenant, if you want to write it down. He says, God's choosing. Not yours. Well, don't you just love brothers with limited grace? You know, Lord, if this man does this to me, should I forgive him seven times? Well, I tell you, I'm glad God ain't a man with just limited grace. All right, buddy. This is the fifth time. Seven's my limit. But Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. You say, but Brother Keith, he's done come up to me 15 times and asked for forgiveness. Good. Because maybe it's helping you. Most of us say, I told you, I forgive you. Now get out of here. You're bothering me. Leave me alone. I told you I forgive you. But maybe that's what the brother needs. Maybe he needs a little bit more. And maybe what it is God's having him to come up until one day you forgive him and it's not you anymore forgiving. But it's the resurrection in you forgiving him. It's the Christ in you that's forgiving him. Remember, Jesus said this. He said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. Now, did you notice he didn't say, I forgive you? But what Christ did is he allowed the Father, he allowed that eternal Spirit to forgive the world through him. Are you with me? See, sometimes it takes a lot of God to forgive somebody. Oh, come on now. Don't get quiet on me now. Come on. I live in the same town called Realville, okay? I'm down here. I tell you, you're looking at the only man that could get lost in Lula. Now, you get lost in Lula now, there's something. You got a problem here now. I had a gentleman one time, I was trying to find a way to a church, and he said, I said, where is this certain place at? He said, oh, yeah, that's right. He said, you go down the road and you go over the bridge. Right. Well, in Florida, our bridges are 2 miles long. Right. I went over this bump. And I drove for about 10 miles almost. I realized, I said, something ain't right here. So I come back over the bump and I realized that was the bridge. Oh, hallelujah. But the hour has come. For you to come forth.
Amen.
No excuses.
Amen.
It's time to wake up. It's time to look at your life and say, God, are you really there? That if I need you in the time of death, that if I need you in a time, will you be there for me?
Amen.
See, the hour has come. We're living in a day now where we're fixing to take a trip on the good old gospel ship. And the time is for you to hear what the Word is telling you to do. Lazarus was in a condition 4 days. Talk about a stinking thinking. Brother Branham said his nose had fell off. The maggots was all in him. His nose was slick. The corruption was all in him. He said he was on a 4-day journey. Think of that. But you know what that shows me? That voice that summons all things. It don't matter what kind of condition you're sitting in this church right now. He can bring you forth. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord, this morning. See, Jesus said, I go to awake him. He didn't say, I'm going to try. I'll see how it works. If it looks a little too hard, I think I'll just leave church. That's the way it is with a lot of people. When things start to get hard, you know, and things really, you say, well, I'm serving the Lord. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And it just seems like these things are coming down on me. And I look around and I got people around me and they're just a bunch of agitators in my life. And I say, praise God for the agitator. Every washing machine has to have an agitator. That's how you get the wash clean. Oh, our church would be so good if we didn't have these agitators in our church. Chug, 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 chug. Maybe the dirt needs to get cleaned out. Maybe you need to find a place. See? That's what's happening. See, God brings those things into the church because it's not just for to help, but it's to help you. See, you may find out that you got something dead in you that you ain't died out to. See? You may find out there's some part in your life that, oh my, God had to bring this man into the church. Had to bring this sister. Oh Lord, you just had to bring this sister into the church. Everything was fine until this family come into the church. Well, I just don't understand it. It's not for you to understand. Sometimes God will bring into a church a situation to find out where the maturity of the church is. And sometimes the pastor will know what's going on. And you're like, well, why won't that brother, why won't he do this? Why won't he take care of this? Why won't he straighten this out? Because he's waiting to see what the Spirit is going to do to the assembly. Come on, church. If the pastor attacked every single thing that come into the church, you'd have the most paranoid church in the world. Somebody walk in the church. I got my eye on you, buddy. But see, those brothers with limited grace, they can only go so far. But if the life of Christ is in you, and it's living in you, you can overlook. If you're the statue of the perfect man, and you've come to brotherly kindness, Brother Branham says, brotherly kindness, putting yourself in his place. In the matter. You'd be surprised how easy there would be a lot of things that overcome and the struggles that you have if you could just put yourself in that other person's place. And you could just see it through their eyes. You might find out that it's your fault. See? But we're talking about a resurrection. And we're talking about a man who was in a condition, and in that condition, I mean, it looked hopeless. I mean, Martha, she was, Brother Branham said, she had the right to upbraid Jesus. But she didn't do it. But even in her own thinking, she was saying, he stinketh. You want me to roll the stone back? Well, Martha, didn't you say, even now? Even now, Lord? If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, Lord? Help us, Lord. See, because if we're not careful, our mind will lean in a direction. Because we have to have a revelation to understand what God is doing in our life.
Right.
See, once you get a revelation, then the rest is rest.
Right.
See, once you begin to see what God is doing and leave it alone, and don't try to poke at it, don't try to stir it, but let God deal with the situation. Because when you do that, then you're beginning to overcome that way of stinking thinking. Because you don't, you have to see it the way God sees it. Are you with me here this morning? Praise God. Amen. So let's watch this here now. Because before the foundation of the world, He saw you. And He chose you. And the blood that was shed for you, He chose you by grace. Oh, hallelujah. Church, that means something to me. No wonder Abel, when he offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain. Because what Abel offered to God is what God had given to Abel. And now in worship, he is now giving that back to God. And God received his sacrifice. Why, church? Because it matched the eternal sacrifice.
Amen. That's right. Exactly.
And see, that's what our life has to do.
Amen.
Our life has to match what the Word says.
Right.
Our life has to come in order.
Right.
And God is calling you, each one of us, to come forth, come out of that situation that you're in. The voice that is calling you today, that voice is the voice, Brother Branham said, that quickened you. That is the same voice that had you to be baptized in Acts 2:38. That same voice that spoke to John, that said, come up hither, is the same voice. It ain't a different voice, saints of God. If God is speaking to you today, then the voice of the resurrection has already spoken your heart. Hallelujah to God. You are already now resurrected in Christ Jesus. Help us, Lord. Oh, praise God. He's already called you from one condition to another condition. See, you're not in that same condition. Because if you are, something's dead. Something's stinking. But you can overcome. You know how come? Because He said you can.
Amen.
He saw you overcome. He saw the vision of you overcoming that trial that you're in right now. That testing that you're in right now. He's holding your position.
Right, man.
Right. Ooh, glory to God.
Right.
Amen. When the Lamb slain 2,000 years ago on Calvary, not in God's sight. He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. When God saw what Satan had done, His program was laid out, and He knowed that He would send His Son, and He would be a propitiation for our sin. That means He took our place. Ooh, hallelujah. You mean to tell me, when you was in the condition that you were in, He loved you? He didn't clean you all up and he said, I love that guy. He's just going to be a great guy. But He saw you.
Glory.
Before the foundation of the world. Holy and without blame.
Amen.
That's the vision He saw of you. That's why I say to you, Church of Lula, it's the hour to come forth. The word of this hour, the voice of the resurrection, is speaking in your heart. That same voice that has quickened you is now telling you to come forth.
Glory,
amen. Woo, glory to God. Amen. I mean, here was a man in a tomb for 4 days. I mean, you talk about something stinking. You talk about people looking at that and seeing a man walk up and roll the stone back. Brother Branham said, why did he ask them to roll the stone back? He said he should have been a gentleman. But he said it shows you there's something you have to do. See, don't put it all on him. Something you have to do. Something that you, I'll tell you, if you want the lifeless areas that you're dealing with right now, and I don't know what that could be, but I'm here to tell you this morning, that voice can speak right now into the lifeless area and breathe new life into that situation. Hallelujah, praise God. He saw you. He chose you. Before the foundation of the world. I'm trying to labor this because I'm trying to get you to see that there's nothing that you can overcome all things. But you got to stop having this stinking thinking. You got to stop thinking like the devil wants you to think. You've got to stop reacting the way the devil wants you to react. And you've got to start reacting the way God's Word says you should react. Lord, give me patience. And I want it right now. You be careful. Tribulation worketh patience. And you might be sitting right near to the tribulation. Yeah? You might be. You don't know. But tribulation worketh patience. Brother Branham said Moses is poor. They had some hot nights out there in that desert. Buzz saw tempers. Siree. Because when you come to that place, you come to find out. You turn around and look at your mate and say, you're part of my perfection. Lord, I got awful quiet in here. Maybe I ought to go back to... Yeah. Isn't that amazing? When you get married... Before you get married, have you ever noticed when, you know, with God, He didn't fall in love with us. He always loved us. But we fall in love with our mate. Is that right? God saw before the foundation of the world who we would have. God saw, He put this person in our life and we had to come down the pathway of life and go through the trials and heartaches and testing. See, that's why, young people, you need to be careful of the dead things you're attracted to. Oh, Samson was a son of God. He was an anointed son of God. But let me tell you something. When that little Philistine got a hold of him, and I always tell the young people in my church, the young men, if she walks fine, she's a Philistine. And he found out just how strong he really was. You be careful about the things that you let yourself get out in this world. If you're not careful, you'll find yourself, you'll have pictures all over the internet showing all kinds of... You be careful. Because I'm going to tell you something, it ain't just message people out there looking at something like that. There's every kind of sick, perverted, sick old mind, stinking, thinking individual out there. And if you ain't careful, you get yourself out there and you get pictures out there. And young ladies, you be careful with something like that. God's got your man. You don't have to get out there and portray yourself. You don't get out there and show yourself and throw yourself out there. And oh, yeah, you've got a long dress. You've got holiness attire. But let me tell you something. It's the mildest form of seduction there is. You be careful. You be careful, because if you're not, if you don't watch out, that stinking thinking will get a hold of you. And the next thing you know, you'll get in contact with somebody and they'll want you to be sending some... Oh, come on now, don't tell me that don't happen in this message. All these things, you be careful with something like that. Because when you get yourself involved with those things like that, the next thing you know, your young life could be ruined. Say, Lord, clean my mind of stinking thinking. Clean my mind of the dead things. Right. Yeah. Oh, my friend said, if I tweet this and I tweet, let me tell you something, eagles don't tweet. Right. Eagles scream. I know a congressman right now that he tweeted a few tweets, and now he ain't where he you know is a congressman anymore. He really got cooked, didn't he? But see what happens. It becomes common.
Right.
And sin becomes so easy and so accessible that you can lust in your bedroom with your headphones on and your wife laying right there in the bed next to you. Stinking thinking. What happened in those days of sweet nothings? Little sweet little nothings, you know. Now it's nothing sweet. Some men in the message treat their dog better than they do their wife. Hey girl, woman, give me a glass of tea. What did you say? There's none in the house. I'm going out here to the car, but make sure you get me some tea. Come here, baby, talk to daddy. What's going on? Stinking thinking. I'm trying to show you a way to overcome stinking thinking. I'm trying to show you a way how that you can be above all these things, that you don't have to feed on the dead things of this world. Help us, Lord. My, we never thought we'd ever get something like this out of Lazarus' resurrection, huh? Yeah. Yeah, we come to the place, oh my, yeah. Sweet things before you're married, and afterwards, we promise them the world, and we give them dirt. Come on. What happened to all the sweetness? We wanted to know her. We wanted to know everything about her. We wanted to understand everything. Oh my, love, oh goodness. I'll tell you, you could go to a taco place, and if you were in love... You know, if you weren't in love, you look at a taco, you say, what is this? But when you're in love, what is this? Yeah. And you squeeze out, I love you, right on the plate. Yeah. See, love makes you crazy. Love makes you do things. So God loved us so much, He died on the cross of Calvary. He suffered that no man could suffer. He took grief that you would not have to have grief. Hallelujah! He overcame these things for us. And He's calling you today to come forth. Come forth from these dead things. See, necrophiliacs don't want to. Because they like holding on and romancing the dead things. They like holding on to the past. They like holding on to the things that that seem so comfortable. But I'm here to tell you, saints of God, you've got to release the dead things. That's the truth. See, we get so caught up in just little gadgets and little gizmos and little things like this. And if we're not careful, the next thing you know, our whole time and everything is just sucked into that. We find ourselves stinking thinking. We're not praying. We're not seeking God. We're not reading the Bible. We're not listening to message or coming to church. Well, have you ever noticed people that don't come to church after about a month? Man, they just walk in. Just like they ain't failed, nothing. And here you are going through struggles, heartaches, testings, going through all kinds of things. But here these people come in there. Here I am. Bless me. Come on, church. But you're overcoming.
Amen. Right.
And you're overcoming by the vision He saw of you. He saw you overcome. Are you ready? He saw you resurrected. He saw you with a new body. He saw your marriage come forth in a different way. You say, brother, we need a strong church. Well, if you want a strong church, you got to have strong families. That's how you have a strong church. See, brother, you have to come to the place to come forth. If God's called you to be a father, then you be the best father that you can be. If God called you to be a husband, you be the best husband that you can be. The Bible tells to be that you're the savior of her body. Then act like a savior. Give her like a Savior. Talk to her like a Savior. You want to bring her under submission? Come under submission to your own headship first. See? Well, I just can't get my wife to come under subjection. I have just, for 20 years now, I've been trying to get my wife to come. And here you are, you're not even under subjection. A resurrection, He's calling you forth. He wants you to fulfill the vision that He's seen of you. Trouble with a lot of people in their marriages is as they get further in their marriage, instead of two becoming one, one have become two. And now two have two visions, and two have two directions, and two have this, and two have that. And that's contrary to the Word of God.
Amen.
You have to surrender yourself to Christ. You can be two. You have to be one with Christ. You have to be in His resurrection. You have to be in Him. Is this okay this morning? I hope this is helping you. Because you might got a few more hours a little bit later after we take a break here. But church, I just want you to see what attractions will do. Dead attractions. Things that God has reckoned dead. We find ourselves feeding on them all the time. But oh my, we who are spiritual, we who know the resurrection, we have a Savior. We have one that sticketh closer than a brother. We understand it all. We can tell all our heart's desire to this. What would we do without Facebook? Hello? What would we do without it? People find themselves on that thing all the time. Telling every little thing about themselves.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, they wind up getting on chat lines. They wind up getting called in situations. Because on that internet, let me tell you something, saints of God. It's either an internet or it's a sinternet. Because there are people that have businesses, there are people that do things on that. But I'll tell you, there are some people that do other things on it. And I'll tell you, it's based on free moral agency. With a click of a mouse. Click, click. You can go from one end of this world to the other. You can go from every kind of lust, every kind of ungodliness, every kind of thing, with a click of a button. And we wonder why our homes are tore up in the message. Help us, Lord. See, the hour has time to come forth. To come out of these dead things. And you know in your heart. See? I know in my heart. Because you see, Satan knows this. That only a pure heart can see God. And that's why he's always trying to pervert your heart with stinking thinking. Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So I'm trying to help you here to overcome stinking thinking. You have to start seeing your life the way God sees you. The vision that God saw of you before the foundation of the world. That life is what He wants to see you living. Help us, Lord. Oh, praise God. Amen. But see, you have a part. And it's something that you have to surrender to. It's something you have to submit yourself to. Because I'll tell you, when you're in love, everything is different.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. I mean, you, my daughter, I just got her married off after 3 years.
Amen.
And her mind was numb. Rachel, go out to the car and get the little thing on the bottom of the seat. She'd walk out there and walk around the car. I'd say, Rachel, Joel is laying on the floorboard of the car. Go in there and get him. Oh, okay, Dad. See, so when we're in love, how are we acting? We should have a wonderful marriage with Christ. Husband and wife. Is that right? See, because isn't it amazing that before marriage, opposites attract? Amen? But after you get married, they irritate. Didn't irritate before. Because you were so in love.
Amen?
It's getting close to 12 here. I'm going to have to shut down here in just a minute. We're really getting into something here a little bit this afternoon. I want you to be able to come back because we have some other things here, saints of God, that we would like to bring out. More of a little bit. We've kind of just dabbled around a little bit this morning. I felt in my heart to just share some things with you. But this afternoon, I'd really like to really get down into this resurrection. And I want you to see yourself and I want you to see what God is calling you to. Because once you begin to see what God has done for you. I'll tell you, we had a service at our church, at our camp meeting on a Sunday afternoon. And I'm telling you what, this brother brought out a thought. And I'm telling you, when we opened the doors, I thought the neighbors were going to be calling the police. I mean, people got a revelation and an understanding of something God had done for them. And it became so real to them. I mean, people were falling out, being slain. We had a 2-hour something prayer meeting. People were being healed, delivered, set free, because they had come to the place where they said, I'm tired of this dead things in my life, and I'm ready to come forth, Lord. You got to be ready to let it go. You've got to be ready to say, this is doing nothing but causing death in my home. You have to be prepared in your heart to release it. Because God has done something wonderful for you. And this afternoon, Lord willing, that's what we want to share with you. The great work that He has done through this resurrection in your life. Do you love Him this morning? God bless you. Amen. We'll turn the service over here to the brothers here just a moment. But I hope I said something to really encourage you. But I said this afternoon, we really just want to labor in this, because I believe if you come back, you're going to really receive something very special from the Word. Amen. That Lazarus got. And if God can change this man's situation, I'm here to tell you. I want you to come this afternoon and say, Lord, I need something in my life.
Amen.
And I want you in your heart to be prepared that whatever it is He tells you, whatever it is He says, let go of.
Right.
You be prepared to do that.
Glory.
Because saints, when you obey the Word of God, good things are going to come into your life.
Amen.
Right. Amen. You love the Lord this Amen. Morning. God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You, Father, this morning for these words that we have shared thus far. But God, this afternoon, Lord, I ask You, God, that You would speak through Your servant, Lord Jesus. Help us and encourage us, Lord Jesus, through this resurrection of a man who was in a condition, and You didn't just speak to the man, You spoke to his condition. And God, I ask You this afternoon, Lord, that You would just speak to the saints here this afternoon, Lord. Bless us. I pray the Word, Lord, was a blessing this morning, God. We ask You now in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Y'all know that little chorus? He's setting me free, this Holy Ghost power. It's setting me free this very hour. It's down in my soul. It's making me whole. It's setting me free, free, free. This Holy Ghost power. It's setting me free. This Holy Ghost power. It's setting me free. This very hour. Soul, it's making me whole. It's setting me free, free, free. This Holy Ghost power, it's setting me free. This Holy Ghost power, it's setting me free. Oh my. See, we have to be ready to let go of the dead things. Because dead things can't hold you. You have power to overcome.
Amen.
But you have to be prepared for what the Word tells you you have to do. And the Brother Branham speaks that the will of God will take the hide right off of you. He said, I want the will of God in my life. Did you be prepared? He said, well, Brother Keith, I just want the love of God in my life. Then you be prepared for people to hate
right.
you.
Right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, man.
You say, I just want the joy of God.
Yeah.
Then you be prepared for sorrow to
yeah.
come.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Because it's those things that are going to bring you. Right. Brother Branham said, to overcome a complex,
right.
you have to do the opposite.
Right.
So you say, well, you know, I just need to spend more time with the Lord. Then spend more time with the Lord.
Right.
See? Well, that was easy, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
You know, I really need to read my Bible more. Then read your Bible more.
Right.
You know, I find myself, I'm just not listening to tapes like I should. Then listen to tapes.
Right. Sure.
That's how you overcome the complex.
Right.
You've got to do the opposite.
Right.
You say, well, you know, he just doesn't spend time with me. Then spend some time with him, brother. See? Do the opposite. Because by doing the opposite, you overcome the complex. God bless you this morning. I hope this was a blessing to you. And as I said this afternoon, we're going to really dig deep. Because Lazarus was deep. So we got to get him out of the grave. We got to get him to come forth. We got to get him loosed. And we got to get him up here so everybody can see him. Amen. God bless you, church. Thank you so much. Amen, brother. Brother, God bless you. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Let's give our brother a good. So let's think about it. Let's think, ain't God good? Before we go. Anybody have a need? Altar's always open for prayer for whatever you have need of. All right. Ain't God good to give us so many blessings undeserving? That's what we are. We all do. Anybody have a need? Praise Him a little more today. A whole lot more tomorrow. Ain't God good? Ain't God good? Heard a great message. Now come and reap the benefits. Receive what you have need of. We ought to thank Him. Love and praise Him a little more today. A whole lot more tomorrow. Ain't God good? I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again, more than a conqueror, right?
That's what I am.
I'm a new creation,
I'm a brand new creation.
Just sing that to one another as you leave. Remember the service is 2 o'clock. Come expecting a blessing.
Of the Father, as we are joined.